Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
Service. There is one sin that I have come to fear above all others, certainty. Certainty is the great enemy of unity. Certainty is the deadly enemy of tolerance. Our faith is a living thing precisely because it walks hand in hand with doubt. If there was only certainty and no doubt, there would be no mystery, and therefore no need for faith. Good evening and welcome, everyone. Those opening lines, I don't know if anyone might recognize them, but those lines actually come from a movie. They are from one of the 2024 Best Picture nominees, a movie called Conclave. I don't know if anyone's seen it. It's a wonderful movie. But even though the words come from a movie, they come from fiction, there is often truth in fiction. And when I heard these words, watching that movie, I was very much struck by these words. I found them to be very profound and very deep. And those words really very much reminded me of the great doubt of Zen and how in Zen, great doubt walks hand in hand with great faith. And this is important to understand in Zen practice. And I was also instantly reminded when I heard those words of the great Zen master Boshan, Boshan's teachings on the matter of great doubt in Zen. And I think we've all heard, or most of us have heard, Sensei previously share Boshan's wonderful quote, a quote that is most often attributed to Zen master Boshan, which says, "Great doubt, great awakening. Little doubt, little awakening. No doubt, no awakening." And so Zen Master Boshan reminds us in his teachings that in Zen practice, it is absolutely an essential point to rouse doubt. The essential point in Zen is to rouse doubt. And I'll talk a little bit more about Master Boshan's teachings this evening, but I want to begin first with a teaching from the Buddha, Shakyamuni. This is an early teaching that comes from the early Pali canon of writings. And this is from a sutta called the Kalama Sutta. And in that sutta, the Buddha has arrived in the town of Kesaputta with his disciples. And he's greeted there by the Kalama people, the Kalama clan who live in Kesaputta. And they address the Buddha and they ask the Buddha, they say to the Buddha, that there are many Brahmins, many contemplatives and teachers who come there to Kesaputta to expound and glorify their own doctrines, their own teachings. But those teachers, they revile, they disparage, and they show contempt for the teachings of others. And so they tell the Buddha that this leaves us feeling very uncertain and in doubt. We don't know which are speaking the truth. And they ask the Buddha about this. And the Buddha acknowledges what they've said. And he says, of course, you are left with doubt. Of course you have doubt. And the Buddha says to them, Kalamas, don't go by reports, by legends, by traditions, by scripture, by logical conjecture, by inference, by analogies, by agreement through pondering views, by probability, or by the thought, this contemplative is our teacher. When you know for yourselves that these qualities are unskillful, these qualities are blameworthy, these qualities are criticized by the wise, these qualities, when adopted and carried out, lead to harm and to suffering, then you should abandon them. Thus was it said. And in reference to this, it was said, now Kalamas, don't go by reports, by legends, by traditions, by scripture, by logical conjecture, by inference, by analogies, by agreement through pondering views, by probability, or by the thought, this contemplative is our teacher. When you know for yourselves that these qualities are skillful, these qualities are blameless, these qualities are praised by the wise, these qualities, when adopted and carried out, lead to well-being and to happiness, then you should enter and remain in them. And the Buddha also gave a very similar teaching to this at the end of his life, before his passing. He gave a teaching, one that we chant in all of our sutra services, Atta Dipa, be a light unto yourselves. You are the light. You have everything you need. Don't just go by my words. Don't just go by my teachings because I have said it. But know for yourselves. Look for yourselves. Question for yourselves. This was the Buddha's final teaching. I think that we human beings, we are very curious by nature. We have a tremendous amount of curiosity. We want to know things. And we're conditioned in our life, I think, to always be looking for an answer. We're always looking for the answer. Always looking for and wanting certainty. We are always looking for the answers, always looking for certainty in those answers. But the kind of certainty, the kind of knowing that we crave so much, that we chase after so much, is very elusive and it is often fleeting. It's fleeting and elusive because everything is of the nature of change. Everything is of the nature of flow. Everything is constantly shifting. And so that certainty that we chase after so much, that we crave for so much, that certainty is most often an illusion. That certainty is an illusion. And because of our dualistic and egoic ways of thinking, we tend to become attached to knowing the answers. We want to know, we want to know, we want to know. We desperately grasp at knowing the answers and having certainty. And the ego mind, because of this grasping, because of this constant wanting for answers, wanting for certainty, for an ultimate certainty, the ego mind that tends to do one of two things. It either turns toward skeptical doubt, and skeptical doubt or skepticism is a hindrance or an obstacle to knowing. It is a very profound obstacle to knowing. But we often turn towards skeptical doubt when we can't quite reach an answer, a satisfactory answer that we're looking for. Or the ego grasps at some answer that it perceives as satisfactory, that it perceives to be right. And so we grasp at that answer and we fixate on that answer, thus hardening it into belief, into dogma, into doctrine, drowning out all other possibilities. When we do this, we lose our sense of wonder. We lose our ability to wonder, to inquire, to investigate, to question, to look for ourselves, to be a light unto ourselves. And when we lose our sense of wonder, we fall into looking simply for comfortable answers, looking for knowledge, rather than looking at reality, at insight, at right understanding. We look for an imagined certainty. And as the opening line stated, certainty is the great enemy of unity, of tolerance. In Zen, we often speak of not knowing, or of what we call don't know mind. There's a beautiful koan in the Zen tradition from which this phrase appears and is emphasized. Not knowing is most intimate. Not knowing is most intimate. Not knowing is closest. Closest to what? Most intimate with what? With reality, with truth. And this don't know mind, this mind of not knowing, this is not a mind of ignorance. It is not a mind that is closed off and doesn't want to know. It is the mind of Shoshin, of beginner's mind. It is a mind and a heart that is always open, always receptive to looking, to investigating, to inquiring, to looking deeper and deeper. This is the mind of great Tao. This is the luminous mind. And in Zen practice, we don't so much fixate on or grasp at the answers, but rather we embrace the questions. We embrace them with an openness. We investigate and open ourselves up to all of the unfolding possibilities. We look at the great questions. Who or what am I, really? What is this reality, this precious life that I am living? What is my original face, my true nature? What is the great matter? We embrace these questions with openness, with beginner's mind. And this is much in the spirit of working with koans in Zen practice. For any of you who have sat with me on some of our Thursday evenings, when we sometimes really look into and delve into traditional Zen koans, then you know these koans are about really, it's really about opening up to the koan and allowing them to continuously unfold as we dive into them. Sensei Wendy Johnson once said in the talk that I heard from her, she was referring to koans and koan practice, koan study, and she described koans by saying, it is like loving the question so much that you'll never turn away from inquiring or from always wondering what the great matter is. I love that line. I love that description. It is about loving the question so much that you'll never turn away from inquiring or from always wondering what the great matter is. This is great Tao. In Zen, we often say to hold everything lightly. Hold everything lightly. Words, concepts, ideas, beliefs, even insights. Hold them lightly. Hold them with beginner's mind. Hold them with great Tao. If we can imagine this as a book of possibilities, possibilities in life, we often want to know so bad that we look on the surface, the first thing that's offered, and we do this. We want to hold it. We want to hold on to it so tight, wanting to know the answers, wanting that certainty. When we do this, it becomes very difficult to unfold the other possibilities. It becomes very difficult to unfold the other possibilities. But when we hold everything lightly, then we can look at the other possibilities. We can see other possibilities by holding everything lightly. And so great Tao is a cornerstone of Zen practice, as is, of course, great faith. Great Tao and great faith are cornerstones of Zen practice. In Zen, great faith and great doubt are absolutely inseparable. They are interconnected and interdependent in so many ways. And again, Zen Master Boshan's words come to us that the essential point of Zen is to rouse doubt. There cannot be authentic Zen practice without great doubt. It is one of the pillars, one of the foundations that holds this practice upright, that holds each one of us upright in our practice, but also in our daily life when we open ourselves up to that great doubt. And I want to make clear before I continue, as always, whenever I offer any words, whenever I offer a talk, what I say comes from my own place of understanding. And also from my own life experience. And as always, Zen is an experiential practice. It is realized and it is actualized for each of us through our lived experience. And when I was younger, I came up through a spiritual tradition, a religion, in which doubt, for me, seemed to be largely shunned. Doubt was, and perhaps I think still is, in many spiritual traditions, it is all too often seen as a weakness. It is seen as a lack of faith. It is seen as the very antithesis of faith. Questioning or inquiring was somehow often seen as wrong. It was seen as morally wrong, something very much in opposition to faith. And when we see it in this way, the doubt of inquiry is seen somehow as a challenge to faith. And that challenge or that inquiry is often viewed as being harmful in some way. And we remember again those opening words that I shared. Faith is a living thing precisely because it walks hand in hand with doubt. When I first encountered the teachings of the Buddha Dharma, I was both amazed and I was delighted to encounter a spiritual practice, a way of being that embraced doubt. It embraced inquiry and questioning. And Zen practice in particular did not seem to suppress or to corral doubt in any way. It did not seem to suppress inquiry in any way, but rather it openly invited and encouraged it. And I should say that in Buddhism, I don't think in any other tradition is this seen more than in Zen, in the Zen tradition. No other Buddhist school or tradition quite emphasizes this view regarding doubt the way it is emphasized in Zen practice. But for me, this was an eye-opening and a mind-opening revelation. It was very radical because it went against the grain of everything that I had experienced before, of everything that I felt I had been taught before, about inquiring, about questioning, about looking for myself. But when I encountered this great doubt of Zen, this was not the doubt that we so often think of, or the doubt that we might often experience in our lives. Great doubt in Zen is not the same as mere skepticism or skeptical doubt, which is one of the traditional five hindrances or obstacles in Buddhism. Great doubt is not a wavering or indecisive mind, and it is not incredulity, which is often defined as a state of being unwilling or unable to believe something, a feeling of disbelief or skepticism. Great doubt is something much deeper and more profound. It is something altogether different from skepticism or skeptical doubt. Skeptical doubt separates us and closes us off from seeing truth, from seeing reality. Great doubt opens us up and brings us ever closer to the myriad possibilities in life. Great doubt unifies rather than separates. It unifies rather than separating us from truth or from understanding. And another way of saying great doubt in Zen is great wonder. Just as another way of saying great faith is great trust. And I want to share an excerpt from Zen Master Boshan's book, Great Doubt. This is from the introduction to the book. Like other religions, Zen Buddhism encourages faith or trust, but it also encourages doubt. There are, however, two kinds of doubt, skeptical doubt and great doubt. Skeptical doubt is of little value. Indeed, along with greed, hatred, ignorance, and pride, skeptical doubt is usually considered a defilement, a hindrance, or a poison. That kind of doubt gives rise to a hesitant attitude that keeps one from entering the way. Great doubt, the kind of doubt that Zen values, is something entirely other. There is good reason that it is called great doubt. Great doubt is an intense wonder, a powerful curiosity that opens us up. It does not stand in opposition to trust in the way. In fact, great doubt can arise only from great trust. Great trust grounds and supports us. Great doubt keeps us on the path and leads all the way through. Great trust is the conviction, based on experience, that there is a way. Great doubt provides the fuel to go all the way. As quoted in the 16th century compendium, Whips Through the Zen Barrier by Zhu Hong, the 14th century Chinese Zen master Zhen summed it up when he began a Dharma talk with this: fully trust, you'll fully doubt. Fully doubt, you'll fully awaken. And so great doubt in Buddhist practice is not seen as a challenge in any way to faith. It is not seen as opposition to faith, but rather as something that is inextricably interconnected with faith. And this is an essential point to consider. Both are absolutely necessary and are vital, and they walk hand in hand on the Buddhist path of wisdom and compassion. And I'm also reminded, when I think of great doubt, I'm reminded of a wonderful book that my brother Daiko put me onto. This book is by Buddhist scholar, author, and teacher Stephen Batchelor. And the title of this book is The Faith to Doubt. And I think this title just wonderfully and beautifully describes the interconnected relationship between great faith and great doubt. The Faith to Doubt. I want you all to think about that for a moment. Look at those words, think about those words, and let them sink in. Think about what arises for you when you hear those words, the faith to doubt. From a Zen perspective, to have great faith is to have the faith to doubt, to investigate, to inquire, to look for ourselves, to keep going further, being a light onto ourselves, Atta Dipa, always evolving, always unfolding. And Stephen Batchelor, in the book, The Faith to Doubt, says, listen to this account of doubt given by the 17th century Japanese Zen master Takasui. You must doubt deeply again and again, asking yourself what the subject of hearing could be. Pay no attention to the various illusory thoughts and ideas that may occur to you. Only doubt more and more deeply, gathering together in yourself all the strength that is in you, without aiming at anything or expecting anything in advance, without intending to be enlightened, and without even intending not to be enlightened. Become like a child within your own breast. This is great doubt. Such doubt is not merely uncertainty about the claims of a particular spiritual tradition, but doubt about what is the meaning of our existence in this world. It is precisely this kind of doubt that Zen takes up and channels towards awakening. Just as in India and Tibet, desire and other kleshas or poisons were transformed into the path, so in Zen, doubt is transformed into the path. The energetic power of what is conventionally conceived as an obstacle, a defilement, or delusion is thus used as a vehicle for freedom and illumination. And so, from a Zen perspective, again, to have great faith is to have great doubt. And this great doubt, this great wonder, really guides us on the path. It keeps us on the path. It keeps us moving forward on the path. And in the preface to Zen Master Boshan's book on great doubt, Zen teacher Brad Warner shares the following. Another name for great doubt might be great wonder. Perhaps wonder is the brighter aspect of doubt. Our brains have evolved to seek certainty. In order to survive, We have to be certain about what's a snake and what's a piece of rope. Which mushrooms will provide us with vitamin D and riboflavin, and which will kill us? Who is our true friend and who is trying to harm us? Religions take this sensible desire for situational certainty and create the fiction of ultimate, all-encompassing, absolute certainty. Meditation is often expected to lead us to a state of complete and utter certainty, a state beyond all doubt. But Beauchamp tells us again and again that any state that seems like ultimate certainty is just the product of our own imagination. When we lose our capacity to doubt, we lose the truth. When you remove all doubt, you also remove all wonder. Even in moments of the deepest and most profound insight, we need to maintain a sense of doubt, a sense of wonder. And so we bring this same great doubt, this attitude of great wonder, we bring this to our sitting practice. In Zazen practice, we sit with all of the mental noise, all of the judgments, all of the labels, the opinions, the chatter, the commentary, and we examine all of it. We look at all of it. We question all of it. We challenge our habitual assumptions and beliefs about it, about all of it. And so even when we think the commentary is right, or we think our understanding is insightful or is a breakthrough, we continue to examine that. And to go further, to look further. We continue to investigate, to inquire, not with skepticism, but with great doubt, which is an intense wonder, and with great faith, which is an unshakable trust. And it's important to know, it's important for all of us to understand that we will encounter moments of skeptical doubt or uncertainty in our practice. This is natural, this is normal. It is a natural part of practice that we will at times encounter doubts in our practice. But this is where we return to the pillars of great trust and great wonder. To not knowing is most intimate. Not knowing is closest. And so, again, in Master Beauchamp's book, he says, thinking your meditation or your practice is going wrong because you have distracting thoughts is like thinking your workout is going wrong because you sweat. Still, it is difficult. And remembering that doubt is part of the process can make it easier to get through the rough patches. That feeling of doubt you have that you can even do this thing at all doesn't mean you're doing your meditation or your practice wrong. It means you're doing it right. As you continue your practice, however, you will eventually have moments where it seems like you've broken through, like you've solved every philosophical question that has bedeviled mankind for the past 10,000 centuries. You'll want to shout your new discoveries from the rooftops and lead your fellow humans into the shining new age of peace, love, and unlimited joy that you know are the birthright to every living creature. To people at this stage, Beauchamp says, check yourself. You may indeed have discovered something very deep, very profound, but you haven't gone all the way because you can never go all the way. Realize that the all-encompassing bliss you may feel is just as fleeting as everything else, and that reality is much bigger than you could ever imagine. And so we check ourselves. I think that often two of the most harmful words in Zen practice are I know. Or we can make it three words, I already know. And this is not to say that we don't know or that we can't know anything. But it is to say that there may always be more to know, more possibilities to consider. When we close ourselves off to those possibilities through skeptical doubt, turning away, or through those wonderful words, I already know, then we've closed ourselves off completely. When we think we already know, this is when we continue to look in Zen. We continue to investigate. We continue to inquire. We continue to loosen our grip on our attachment to certainty and to fixed ideas. And so we check ourselves and continue to fully embrace the questions without becoming attached to a perceived certainty in answers. This certainty is an illusion. It is the great enemy of unity and tolerance. And so, once again, Stephen Batchelor in The Faith to Doubt, he says the Zen tradition often speaks of three factors that need to be cultivated along the path: great faith, great doubt, and great courage. We often say great determination. Thus, faith and doubt are brought together. Clearly, doubt in this context does not refer to the kind of wavering indecision in which we get stuck, preventing any positive movement. It means to keep alive the perplexity at the heart of our life, to acknowledge that fundamentally we do not know what is going on, to question whatever arises within us. The acceptance of such doubt as basic to Buddhist practice qualifies the meaning of faith. Faith is not equivalent to mere belief. Faith is the condition of ultimate confidence that we have the capacity to follow the path of doubt to its end. And courage? Courage is the strength needed to be true to ourselves under all conditions, to cast aside the obstacles that are constantly thrown our way. And so I'll conclude with these words. Delusions are endless. Dharma gates are inexhaustible. The truth is immeasurable. The way is endless. And we, as practitioners of this great way, continue to follow the path of wisdom and compassion. And so I say to everyone, take heed of what I've talked about this evening. Yes, take heed of what I've talked about this evening, but hold it lightly. Hold it lightly with great trust, but also with great wonder. And let that great wonder guide you ever forward in your practice and in your life.